Welcome to the Church of the Redeemer Studio podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this discussion, and we hope that you will follow us on www.cotr.com.
Grab your Bibles and come with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 7 on this morning. As you turn there, I mean, we've said it before, and I know we'll have time at the fellowship, at the banquet in between, but my wife and I are just eternally grateful for the time that we've shared and the time we'll continue to share, and it ain't over. Amen. So 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. If it's possible to get the organ and the monitors, that'd be amazing. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Bible says this: "The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elijah, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves.' Elijah replied to her, 'How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?' 'Your servant has nothing there at all,' she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." I want to preach a message by the Spirit on this morning, simply entitled, on our last Sunday together, entitled, "It's Already in the House." Speak, Father, your servants are listening. We pray that you would anoint all of our ears to hear, eyes to see, and mouths to speak for you. Get your glory in this place. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Our hearts and our souls say, amen. Tell your neighbor it's already in the house. That's important for you to know, so look to the other side and tell them it's already in the house. Scripture writer has said that God has already given us all things that are necessary for life and godliness. And the challenges of the believer is believing that I already have it. If you live your life constantly focusing on that which you believe you do not have, oftentimes you'll overlook what God has given you and what God has done in your life already. The challenge for the believer thus exists in this place: I have it, but I can't see it yet. It's mine, but I feel like I have not fully apprehended it yet. And so I'm in the place in between knowing that it's coming and receiving it by faith. And that That can be a challenging place for most of us. That's a challenging place for many of us. That can be the challenging place that many of us find ourselves in right now, personally, in and outside of the church. What do you do when you feel like you're down to your last and you feel like you're running out and you know God is going to provide, but you don't have it yet? What do you do? What do you do? What do you do when you believe that it's coming your way, but it has not arrived yet? Let me pause right here and just tell you parenthetically by the Spirit, as a believer, you ought to always live your life in the yet. You ought to have a yet on everything. If there's something that you believe God is bringing your way, when people ask you whether or not you have it, you have to learn how to turn and say to them, baby, I don't have it yet. It's not that it's not coming. It's coming. It's just that I don't have it yet. Are you married? I'm not married yet. Do you have a new job? I don't have the job yet. Do you have a new pastor? We don't have one yet. But that does not mean that God is not actively sending. As a matter of fact, I believe that we ought to live our posture in such a way where we know it's on the way. So yet is a necessary answer. Yet is a necessary part of your life. And so for this woman who is here, who is at a very difficult place because she has lost her husband. She is in need. She is about to lose her sons. And here's the problem. She doesn't have what she needs yet. But the Bible says that she goes and she talks to the man of God. Can I tell you that one of the things that you've got to do is not render your full prognosis until you've given God a chance to have a say? I know that you think you can predict the future. I know that the weatherman has caused many of us to go crazy because we now believe human beings can predict what's coming our way. But I came by to tell you, there's some things in this life, no matter how prophetic you are, you just can't catch before they come. And you've got to be careful about declaring the outcome before you've given God a chance to speak on your situation. That's encouraging to somebody. Saved folk don't know when to shout on today, because if you allow yourself to render the prognosis, you'll down yourself. You commit yourself. You count yourself out. But is there anybody here who knows, even when you think you're down, God will come in and declare, I still have the final say? Somebody help me preach in here. Aren't you glad God has the final say? Aren't you glad he can speak life in your situation? Aren't you glad that when you're barren and you're down, God can show up in your life and make a way out of no way? Aren't you glad? Servant is dead. Creditor is coming. And I don't have it yet. I don't have it yet. And here's what I love about the prophet. Good God, I feel like preaching. Here's what I love about the prophet. I love that we like to limit the prophetic and we like to put it into realms that are familiar and comfortable for us. So for the Pentecostal, the prophet can only talk about that which is to come. For the social justice preacher, the prophet can only speak to current situations. But I came by to tell you, he's much more than that. The woman of God who is a prophet, the man of God who is a prophet, can do more than that. When they are really moving in authenticity, they're not restricted to social justice. They're not restricted to things that are to come. One of their functions is to come in your life and point out some stuff that's already there. You just can't see it. God help me in here. Oh, God help me. That's why one of the names for the prophet was the seer. It's not just because they want to see that which is to come. It's because I'm trying to show you even right now. Help me. Elijah himself was a prophet, wasn't he? And the Bible says that there was a time where he got nervous because there was an army coming against him. And the Bible says that he had to go tell his servant, no. I know that you think that what you see is what's there, but there's more to what's going on than what you can see with your naked eye. He allowed him to see beyond what they see already. And so here is the paradox in the scripture today, Dr. Wooden, because we recognize that she feels like she doesn't have it yet, but the prophet comes to the woman who says she has nothing in her house, and he says, I know you think you don't have it, but I come by to tell you, in your house, you've already got everything that
you need. I can stop preaching for somebody right there, because you down a little bit, you low a little bit. Oh, I feel like shouting in here. You don't know how you're going to make it, but God told me about to come to this house to say you've already got it. Everything you need to make it is already in your house. You've already got the strength, already got the joy, already got. Just tell your neighbor, I already got it. Give him a high five. Tell him, I've already got it. I've already got it. And because I'm connected to you, watch this, Redeemer. And because we're in this thing together, if I've already got it and we walking together, that means you already got it too. Somebody ought to praise in here today, because I may not have what you have and you may not have what I have, but when we put what we got together. Bible says, first, I've got to change your direction. Woo! Bible says, prophet says, Dr. Winnow, first, I've got to redirect you. You haven't been able to get what you need because you're so busy looking for answers on the outside. God, help me in here. He says, I've got to change your direction. What's in your house? Can I tell you, without even going to visit you, I already know some of the things you've got in your house. I know you've got the word in your house. I know you can open up your phone, read your Bible right now. That's something. Can I tell you something else you got in your house? Can I tell you, I know you've got access to God in your house. I know you can have a little talk with you. You got prayer in your house. You've got fasting in your house. You've got worship in your house. You even now have got to turn around and begin to recognize, sometimes my difficulty comes because I'm so busy seeking problems on the outside, I forget to come look within.
So the prophet, he change your direction. Turn around. What's in your house? What's in your house? What's in your house? What's in your house, Redeemer? You got leaders. You got seniors. You got deacons. You got trustees. You got people who be our founders. You got ushers. You got what's in your house? Turns around, says, okay, go back into your house. She says, listen, I've been there, because that's where I live, and that's part of your problem. Can I preach to you? Did you know that when you live with a blessing, it can become familiar? That's why they said that Jesus was never received in his own hometown. A prophet is never a prophet in their own hometown, because there the people are accustomed to him. Oh, that's just Joe. Oh, that's just Mary. Oh, that's just George. Don't pay no attention to George. Oh, that's just Mo. That's just Nick. That's just Deandra. I've known her my whole life before she even had a robe on. I know her. If you're not careful, you can take the blessing that God has you living with for granted. And so you think, based on your assessment, that there's nothing in your house of value. But my God came by to tell you, you got to change your direction. You've got to go back and look at what God has given you already, not through human eyes, but through spiritual eyes, and recognize that what you need is already.
See that? Yeah.
Yeah. See, that can be part of your problem. Part of your problem can be, you think you know. You think you know them. Watch this. Not only do you think you know them, you think they know, you know their potential.
Good God. Good God Almighty. You've rendered an assessment on what he or she is capable of. What they are or are not able to handle.
That's why your assessment of the jar is that, based on what's in it, that's all that it's limited to.
That's why when you look at the jar, you see that the jar, she says, it's happened. She got a jar in the house. He said, what's in your house? He said, I can't help you. He says, I just got a small jar of olive oil. So you think that, first of all, the problem is that it's small. You think that size matters when we're dealing with my God? You think that he cares about your age? You think that he cares about your degrees? You think he cares about your bank account? You think that he cares about what you wonder as small? I've learned in my life that God has chosen the foolish things to confuse the wise. I've learned in my life that God has chosen the weak things to confound the strong. Don't you underestimate anybody, and don't you allow anybody to underestimate you, Redeemer. Don't you allow anybody to underestimate you, Choir. Don't you allow anybody to underestimate you, Tamika. Don't you allow anybody to underestimate you, Sound Team. Don't you allow anybody to underestimate you, Trustee AV Ministry. Because although all they can see may look small, when my God, who is infinite and eternal, puts his hands on your life, he can make some. So your problem is that it's small, but it's small, but it's olive oil. I mean, it's not palm oil. It's not Crisco's. It's not lard. I'm from Virginia. I'm from Virginia. I'm getting ready to get out. I'm from Virginia, and see, it's small, but it's olive oil. I say, every Christmas Eve, we go to my uncle's house, Lynchburg, Virginia, and he has a big house on the top of a hill. It's like yo, whatever you think Big Mama's house is supposed to look like, that's it. And it is on Christmas Eve. It is in all of its best ways organized chaos. I just gotta be true to myself, so y'all know me. There are illegal things happening and legal things happening. I'm from Virginia. There's liquor that you can buy at the liquor store, but then there's also liquor that you can't buy at the liquor store. There's regular baked goods, and then there's enhanced baked goods, and this is the house, and there's cooking, and there's family, and there's love. My God, there's so much love, and I have a cousin who's a preacher, and I'm getting ready to close. I have a cousin who's a preacher, and he comes in every year. He comes in bringing five or six sweet potato pies. And my cousin Eric, he walked in one day, and my wife and I were sitting down at the table in the kitchen, which is a restricted area, because you can't come in the kitchen unless you've been ordained, licensed as a Hughes. And so we were in the kitchen sitting at the table, and Eric came in, and we said, Eric, my wife said, Eric, how do you make these things? Because I've tried, but I can't get them to work right. And he said, well, what do you make them with? And she said, well, I use olive oil. He said, olive oil. Olive oil. You cook with olive oil. My cousin, he said, don't you know what that's for? He says, that's for your skin. That ain't for no cooking. That's Oh God, he said that's for your skin. And see, what he was saying was that olive oil is not just any type of oil. He said if you want to make pies, you need to go get you some lard. Let me tell you what you need olive oil for. You need olive oil as a tool of anointing that can be placed on top of something. Olive oil is not made to go just on the inside. He recognized that over history, olive oil has always been used for that which is on the outside. People have rubbed their skin with olive oil. People have anointed with olive oil. People have used olive oil to repel that which is dark. And I just came to tell somebody in here, I don't know what you're working with in your home, but have you found out? Have you found out? Have you found out that when God shows up in your life, he can take a little bit of olive oil and make it work for something large? Tell me more about this olive oil, because I feel like preaching. Olive oil is a precious thing. It takes a long time to make, and that's part of my shout right there. The stuff that would have took a long time, when God shows up in your life, all you've got to do is pour it out. Is there anybody in here found out in your life? If you would have went around it your way, you'd be crying a long time. If you would have went about it your way, it would have taken you a long time. You'd have to crush the olive. You'd have to break the olive. You'd have to strain the oil. But I heard my Bible say, because of her faith, because of her faith, because of her faith, all she had to do was pour. All she had to do was pour. God, you missed your blessing right there, because I heard the Bible say that God can allow you, Redeemer, to skip over the struggle, to skip over the difficulty, to skip over the heartache. So all you've got to do is pour. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, this here is instant olive oil. This here is instant olive oil. All you got to do is pour. You ain't got to cry. You ain't got to moan. You ain't got to weep. All you got to do is pour. And when God says pour, all you got to do is go pour and grab another jar. And if your jar meets my jar, there'll be enough to run over. Because when he pours out a blessing, he'll pour it out in such a way that you won't have room to receive it. And if you keep on pouring, good God, that's the key. I gotta keep on pouring. Y'all help me close. I gotta keep on pouring. I gotta keep on pouring. If I stop pouring, it'll stop flowing. But if I keep on pouring, it'll keep on running. If I keep on pouring, it'll run over. If I keep on pouring, how do I pour? Lift up your hands, all ye gates, and be ye lifted up. I'm trying to show you how to pour. You everlasting doors, clap your hands, all ye people. I'm trying to show you how to pour. And shout. Shout and give them praise. And the Bible says that when they got through pouring, there was enough for them, not just in the now, but even in the time to come. I came on to tell somebody in here, if you let God pour in your life, he'll bless you in such a way that even without a pastor, the oil will keep flowing. Even in 6 months, the oil will keep flowing. Even next year, the oil will keep flowing. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? If me able, say yeah. Say yeah.
Here's how you miss out on that blessing. First of all, you limit what God can do with a small jar. I only got a small jar in my house. Go get that one. But you don't want me to get it? Nope, get the small one. Watch what happens when you allow faith and my power to hit your small jar. What's your account look like? It's small. Go get it. What's your resource look like? It's low. Go get it. What's your energy like? It's low. I feel like quitting. Go get that. What's your financial situation? It's jacked up. Good. Go get it. What's going on in your marriage? Oh, it's trifling. It's all messed up. There's no hope for it. Good. Go get it. Go get it. And I'm going to use it, and I'm going to pour. Now, here's what I want you to see. It's also critically important, and it's that the Bible says that when the pouring is happening, he tells her one other thing. Get the small jar, because I can use that. Get the jars, keep pouring. He says, close the doors. He says, it's part of the instruction. No part of God's instruction for your life is insignificant. Oh, Lord. Don't gravitate towards the supernatural details and eliminate the seemingly human ones. Preach the oil flowing supernaturally. No, let's preach the door shutting humanly. Because God says, what I'm going to do with the doors shut. What that means is gossiping black people. One of the things that can hinder the move of God is you allowing all the information on the inside to flow out onto the outside. Imagine the trouble that this family would have gotten in if all of the neighbors walking by would have looked in and saw, woo, she got a jar in there that just keeps on flowing, they would have been ready to run up in her house, would have been trying to figure out how they're going to get it, would have wanted to sabotage the blessing. Attention would have been on the jar instead of the God who did what he did. One of the greatest risks to what God is going to do in this house is you not knowing when to keep the door shut. There are going to be some meetings. Everybody don't need to know what happened. There'll be some conversations. You don't need to let everybody know. Your mother, if she got a big mouth, she don't need to find out. That's part of what messes up our marriages. We don't know when to close the doors. And so God is trying to do something on the inside. But he can't do it because you just got people running in and out the whole time he's trying to move. Glasses that could have been filled with olive oil dropping and hitting the floor because people bumping into them. They don't understand how precious what God is doing is. He says, shut the doors. And then once it's over, the oil stops flowing. They never need to go out because God has already put within everything they need. here's the thing that I've learned. I've learned this, Barbara. Emptying is oftentimes a part of what's required so that the greater blessing can come. Hermeneutically, last night I was wrestling with this and thinking through it. Recognizing that when it was time for the pouring to happen, the only jars that were usable were those that were already empty. Recognizing that there would not have been a whole lot of time for them to run around and empty out everything and still catch the oil at the same time once it started flowing. Recognizing then that God, being all powerful and all seeing, would have known that the only way for them to receive the full blessing was for them to already have jars that were empty. Recognizing that nobody would have been celebrating while the jars were being empty, because we're running out of food, we don't have enough resource, we don't have enough money, because if we had those things, they would be in the jars. Recognize we don't have enough clothes, we don't have enough storage, because if we had those things, it would be in the jars. We don't have this leader, we don't have this pastor, because if we did, it would be in the jars. But what if you need to reinterpret your season of being emptied? What if the reason he's been emptying out some of the jars in your life is because when the season of pouring comes, it's going to come so quick, it's going to flow in such abundance that the only way for you to get everything, it's for you to already have empty jars. I'm really done, but I just want to pronounce this over you, Redeemer, that I believe that the emptying process is not because it's over, but it's because there's a greater blessing that's on the way. And if you got an empty jar, if you got an empty church, if you got an empty home, if you got an empty, he can come in and fill it, and he can pour out a blessing in your life that you do not have room to receive it. If you know I'm right about it, say yeah. Come on, stand to your feet. He's emptying you so you can be in position to receive something greater. He's emptying you so you can be in a position to receive something greater. He's emptying you. Whew. God. We don't like being empty. I don't like being empty. But I'm telling you, you're going to love it when it's time to receive. If you believe it, come on, put your hands together. Come on, really celebrate God and put your hands together. Amen. We want to prepare to open up the doors of the church on today. And even as we do so, if you're struggling with the season of being empty, we're not going to move today. Just lift your hands. I just want to pray for you wherever you are. If you know it's hard being empty, it's tough to be empty. Father God, we ask that you would move down every aisle. Move throughout the sanctuary on today. God, give your people glimpses of the blessing that's on the way. God, we thank you that you've taught us that sometimes we overestimate our potential based on what we perceive to have in our own minds. God, thank you that you can make something out of nothing, that you needed no starter kit to make a world in the palm of your hands. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God, that you can make instant olive oil just like you can do it the hard way. That, God, you can skip over parts of the process that would tear us up, break us down, and wear us out simply because we choose to stand still and stay in faith. Maybe the reason that you didn't mind skipping over the hard part in making the olive oil was because the woman had already been through the hardest part already. And we receive that in our lives on today. That maybe what we've been through already is the hardest part of the process. Now, we just have to get in position and ready to receive. God, we thank you that the best is yet to come. God, we thank you that our ladder will be greater. God, we thank you that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard the great things that you have in store for our lives corporately and individually. God, we thank you that your ministry is limited to no man and limited to no woman. That even beyond the pastor, you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think according to the power that works within us. So God, we praise you now. Thank you for emptying us, because your word on today is that if you pour it out, you'll fill it up again. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Our hearts and our souls say amen, amen, and amen. Were you blessed by the word on today? Amen. Come on, let's open up the doors of the church on today. Is there one? Some man, some woman, some boy, some girl. Do you need to give your life to the Lord? Do you need a church home? Do you need to rededicate your life? Come on, Redeemer, let's put our hands together and do what we do. Help us witness on your row. Is there somebody here you need to rededicate your life to God? You need to give your life to the Lord. Are you here on today? Do you need a church home? When the Lord begins to pull, harden not your heart. Do you need to become rededicated? Do you need to be baptized?